today on Living on Every Word.
When you came to Christ, you got peace, you got purpose, and you got the Spirit of the living God. Here's my peace. Here's my purpose, but here's the Spirit of God that gives you the power and gives you what you need to fulfill the purposes of God in your life.
What good is it to have a car if you don't have the gas to give it power? And so it is with God's purposes for your life and the presence of His Spirit. Today, Pastor Mike Fritcher discusses the power the Spirit brings in part three of Words of the Resurrected Christ.
We've been in John chapter 20, so if you'll turn to John chapter 20, and we're looking at the words of the resurrected Christ, and we're looking at four of them. But as you go to John chapter 20, and you find the disciples on the day that Christ has risen from the dead, they're frightened, they're scared, and Jesus comes and He speaks these words of life. And what I want to suggest to you is that these words of life are gifts to them. Gifts from God, gifts from the Spirit. The Bible says in Ephesians 4:7 that to each one of us grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore it says, when He ascended on high, He led captive a host of captives, and He gave gifts to men. He gave gifts. And I want to tell you the very first thing that Jesus says to His disciples, He says it twice, in fear, in anxiety, and worry, in fear of dying, in fear of suffering, the very first thing He says to them is peace be unto you. And then He says it again, peace be unto you. And we spoke of this gift of peace a couple of weeks ago, where God desires for you to walk in peace with Him, with one another, and having peace of mind in heart and soul. I tell you, when I think about the days that it's just stressful and that things are going on in my life, and all of a sudden the peace that surpasses all understanding just comes and it guards my heart and mind in Christ Jesus, I think truly this is a gift, the peace of God. That if I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, right, I fear no evil. Why? Because He's with me. I mean, when you look at that passage of Scripture in Psalm and you understand and you see peace all over it. You see the gift of the Spirit. You see the gift of the Shepherd. That peace is absolutely, totally available to every one of us. Jesus made peace with God with us because we were at enmity with God. And the cross and the death and the burial and the resurrection of Christ makes way for the peace of God in our lives and our hearts. And then last week we looked at purpose, another gift that God gives us. He gives us purpose. And we saw the word of Christ where it said, peace be on you, as the Father has sent me, I also send you. In relationship with our Father, we imitate Him, desiring to be like Him, just as the Father sent Jesus, and all the aspects of how Jesus was and how Jesus related and how He spoke and how He responded. He said, so I'm sending them into the world. Whether it is serving, laying down our lives, whether it is speaking words of encouragement, whether it's speaking words of life, whether it's touching people's lives, we imitate the Father. As the Father has sent me, so I send you. I send you into this world. Then we have this third word, and I want you to notice it. Look at verse 21. Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you. And when He had said this, He breathed on them and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. Third word, power. Power, spiritual power, is always, always associated with the Holy Spirit. Matter of fact, you can look at this as a pre-commission of the body of Christ, the pre-commission of sending folks out in the power of the Spirit. One of the great passages of Scripture that are very familiar to us that I want to talk about a little bit is Acts chapter 1. I want you to turn there, Acts chapter 1, a couple of pages forward, and I want you to look at verse 6. Actually, we'll begin in 4. Gathering them together, He commanded them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait for what the Father had promised, which he said, you heard of me, for John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Baptized by the Spirit, fully immersed by the Spirit of God in the things of God, in the things of the kingdom. When the Spirit of God comes, he says, in verse 6, when they had come together, they were asking him, saying, Lord, is it at this time you're restoring the kingdom of Israel? And he said to them, it is not for you to know the times and epochs which the Father has fixed by his own authority, but you will receive power. The Greek word is dunamis. We get dynamite from that. The word dynamite. You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses. And you'll be my witnesses right here in Jerusalem, all of Judea, all of Samaria, and even to the remotest parts of the earth. Power. What is that word? Word means to have force. It comes from a root word that means to be able, to have the possibility or the ability and the might to do something. And in this case, to be and to do the witnessing of God. To be the witness you were intended to be. Listen, Jesus says, I'm giving you peace, I'm giving you purpose, but I'm going to give you the power to fulfill that purpose out. Last week we spoke of this imitating our God as Father. And imitating Him brings glory and honor to Him, and how we're really sent to reflect Him in all that we do and all that we say. So it's not just a bunch of preachers who go preaching out. No, it's the church of the living God who's living out the gifts, who are using the things that God has talented them with, if that's a word, giving them talents for, the passions that God's given them, to move into this world to proclaim Christ with their life and with their words and with their responses. But I tell you this right now, you cannot do it apart from the Holy Spirit of the living God. When you came to Christ, you got peace. You got purpose. And you got the Spirit of the living God. If you're in Christ today, you have the Spirit of the living God living in you. The Holy Spirit. If you've come to Christ, you've been immersed in the Spirit. You've been baptized by the Spirit. And you have been given gifts by the Spirit to live this out. What's so amazing to me about this is this power of the Holy Spirit living in your life will give you the power to witness the goodness and the glory of our great God. Matter of fact, that's what reflection is. When I'm reflecting God, I'm just giving witness. I'm observing who God is. I'm observing what He's done. And I'm declaring it. And I'm confirming it that I have seen God, that I have heard Him, that He has touched my life. And I have this power to speak of it and to live it. That's what a witness is. Yes, you are witnesses today. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses. Period. And there's no second class, third class witnesses. We're all in it together. Will you take this seriously today? This peace and this purpose, but the power of God to become what God has wanted you to become. And that is giving witness to the greatness of our God. You know, I want you to turn to Acts chapter 6. Acts chapter 6. It's a very powerful passage of Scripture. There's a man in Jerusalem who is Jewish, but he's Greek. And he's come to Christ. His name is Stephen. In this passage of Scripture, there were some folks feeling left out in the distribution of food. And what they call them is Hellenistic Jews, Jews that are Greek. And their widows were being left out, and they were pretty upset about it. And they were saying, listen, all these folks from Judea, they're getting all the food. And listen, our widows are being neglected. And so the apostles said, well, let's appoint 7 men and let them distribute the food. And one of these 7 men is Stephen. And I want you to notice a little bit about his character here. And I want you to think about it with me, because this is the character of a witness of Christ. Verse 3, therefore, brethren, select from among you 7 men of good reputation, watch this, full of the Spirit and full of wisdom, whom we may put in charge of this task. So there's a couple of things about Stephen's nature or his what's happened in his life since he's come to Christ, since he's declared Christ, that first of all, he is a man of good reputation. In other words, he can be counted on. He's a faithful man. The second thing is that he's full of the Spirit of God. And he's wise. Now there's something a little bit more special about him, because when you go to verse 7, it says, the word of God kept on spreading, and the number of disciples continued to increase greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many of the priests were becoming obedient to the faith. And Stephen, full of grace and power, was performing great wonders and signs among the people. And there were some folks that were pretty upset about the effectiveness of the message and the witness of this man named Stephen. And they start to stir it up. And in chapter 7, he speaks the gospel. He speaks the word. He gives witness of the history of God to the Jewish folks. And then he witnesses Christ. And he speaks in boldness, and he speaks by the Spirit. Now there's a great verse of Scripture before we come to the end of this part, but look on the screen at Acts chapter 22, verse 20. When the blood of your witness, Stephen, now Paul, this is during Paul's call, okay? And God's saying, listen, I'm going to send you out. And he's saying, wait, you're sending me out to the Jews? You're sending out these folks to share Christ? You know what they think of me. They know my history. They know that I've put folks in prison. And they know that I approved death in some of these folks. They know who I was. And he says, and even when the blood of your witness, Stephen, was being shed, I also was standing by approving and watching out for the coats of those who were slaying him. Notice, while his blood is being shed, he's declaring him witness. Stephen, full of the Spirit of God, full of wisdom, has this gift upon him to speak and to minister, and to move according to the Spirit of God in his life. But I want you to notice, after he preaches his message, in verse 54, Acts chapter 7, verse 54, when they heard this, they were cut to the quick. And they began gnashing their teeth at him. Now look at verse 55. But being full of the Holy Spirit, he gazed intently into heaven and saw the glory of God, and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. And he said, behold, I see the heavens opened up and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. But they cried out with a loud voice and covered their ears and rushed at him with one impulse. And when they had driven him out of the city, they began stoning him. And the witnesses laid aside their robes at the feet of a young man named Saul. And they went on stoning Stephen as he called on the Lord and said, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And falling on his knees, he cried out with a loud voice, Lord, do not hold this sin against him. And having said this, he fell asleep. Your servant, your witness, stoned for the glory of God. I have a couple of these right outside my office. They're in this wooden barrel. And I had to do something where I had to weight the material down so the wind wouldn't get it. And when I took this stone, I threw it back in. And it just made this horrible, I thought I broke it. I thought this stone broke this barrel. But it just made this loud sound, and it startled me. You ever been hit by one of these? I want to tell you, one of them will kill you. One of them will kill you. This man, this witness, has witnessed the glory of God, and the world does not like it. And confronted with sin, and not being under conviction of the Holy Spirit, they become angry and bitter, and they pick up rocks, probably similar to this, and they start hitting him. And yet he is continuing to give witness of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. There's a couple of things in this passage of Scripture that I want to really, really just hone in on as a witness. First of all, he witnessed the presence of God. The Holy Spirit is all over him. The Holy Spirit is to be with us forever. The Holy Spirit is called the Paraclete, the one called alongside to help us. We're going to see in just a minute, just real briefly, and just some bullet points of the things that the Spirit of God does in our lives to bring us transformation in our lives. But that's the first thing. He is witnessing the presence of God. The Holy Spirit is on him. He's full of the Holy Spirit. The problem is that there's a veil over their eyes, and they cannot see the glory of God. But yet he is giving witness to it. Even Paul at this point can't see the glory of God until the glory of God comes and opens his eyes and he sees it. And he looks back at Stephen and goes, ah, that's what a witness is. That's what a witness is. Full of the Holy Spirit, full of wisdom, good reputation. Born again, regenerated. But I want to tell you something. So the second thing about I see in this passage of Scripture, and that is that he is giving witness to freedom. He's free. That's what dead people in Christ are. They're free. They're free. And I see freedom in him. Do you see fear? I'm sure there's a little nervousness in him because he's of the flesh, but I don't see him declaring fear. I don't see him declaring anxiety and worry. I don't see him doing those things. I seem fully full of the Holy Spirit, confident in who he is in the Lord Jesus Christ, even when getting stoned to death. There's a freedom here that I see. There's a freedom from the power of sin. There's a freedom from grief. There's a freedom from worry and anxiety and stress. It's the God-given gift of the Holy Spirit. He is giving witness to the ever-presence of the Holy Spirit. John 14:16 says, I will ask the Father, he'll give you another helper that he may be with you forever. That is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it does not see him or know him. But you know him because he abides in you and will be with you. Did you notice that? He will be with you forever. Maybe there's something has happened in your life even this week that you feel like God's just somewhere else. Well, if you got the Holy Spirit living God, no, he's not. He's living in you. This Holy Spirit, this third person of the Trinity, the Godhead, he is living in you. I will be with you forever. He will be with you forever. That's why Jesus said, listen, I'll never leave you or forsake you. Never. And it's amazing to me that when you go to the Matthew passage of the Great Commission, how he'll say, here's your commission, but oh, by the way, I'm going to be with you forever. The Holy Spirit will be with you forever. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. He will always sustain you if you're in Christ. The Holy Spirit with us forever. And that's what Stephen is witnessing. He is witnessing this presence of our great God. There's this other thought is this freedom. I want to talk a little bit about that. Look on the screen at 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Whenever a person turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now the Lord is the Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom. Presence, freedom. And we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into that same image from glory to glory, just as from the Lord the Spirit. We have the power to witness the presence of God. We have the power to walk in freedom. I want to talk to you just a minute about the Holy Spirit and how he works in us and gives us freedom. Turn to Romans chapter 8, if you would. Romans chapter 8, verse 1. The Holy Spirit is at work setting us free from a number of things. First of all, from condemnation. Verse 1, therefore there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. How many of you still walking under condemnation today? I mean, you're in Christ. You've laid it down. You have repented. You have turned. You've relied on the Spirit of God. You've relied on the work of Jesus and the cross. And there's some things that have gone on in your life that you have failed at, that you have sinned, and that you've brought shame to your heart and to your life, and you've walked in guilt, but you still feel condemned about it. There is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And it's the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit who sets you free from that. Notice the next verse. It says, For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and death. Condemnation. What's the second thing? Sin and death. He has set us free from sin and death. From the law of sin and death. So many of us who are trying to earn our way in, trying to earn God's favor through our performance and through the things that we do. Don't get me wrong. By the Spirit of God, we do walk this out. And we do live it out. But not as a law. We do it by the Spirit of life. And so when you look at this passage of Scripture, he says, for what the law could not do, weak as it was through the flesh, God did, sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh as an offering for sin. He condemned sin, and that was your sin and my sin, in the flesh, so that the requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but we walk according to the Spirit. Receive the Spirit, is what he said. Here's my peace, here's my purpose, but here's the Spirit of God that gives you the power and gives you what you need to fulfill the purposes of God in your life. It's the Holy Spirit, and it's by this great power that He's given to us. When I look at Stephen, I see a man that's free. He's free from condemnation, he's free from the law of sin and death, power of sin, fear of death. I see this. But I also see that we also have, as I see in Stephen, we give witness to the transformational work of the Spirit. Go back to Acts, if you've not left there, Acts 7, and notice a couple of things. The reason why Stephen can witness the way he witnesses is because he is being transformed by the Spirit of God. I can't do this by Mike Fritcher, and you can't do this by who you are, but by the Spirit of God and the transformational work of the Spirit, I can. I see transformation here. It's a picture, the transformed life. You know, in our passage in 2 Corinthians on the screen just a minute ago, we're being conformed, we're being transformed into the image of Christ. Our word transform comes from the word metamorphosis. And the greatest illustration from nature is a butterfly, right? A butterfly was not always a butterfly. It used to be an ugly worm. And yet it was transformed. This is the word he uses in the Greek language. Transformed. Have y'all seen the butterflies this year? Okay, looking at one yesterday. Watching it with Baylor. You know, I looked at that butterfly and I realized I don't see any resemblance of a worm. But it used to be a worm. I don't see any resemblance to a worm. I see beautiful colors, antenna, six legs, beautiful wings. It flits off. I said, look at that butterfly fly. Have you ever seen a worm fly? Got to be transformed. And I just think that when I look at this word transformation, it means totally, completely different in the likeness of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ. This is the power of the Spirit. It's the power of the Spirit taking a worm like me and by His grace saving me to look so much more like our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. That's what grace did. That's what the Spirit did. It transformed you. But some of you are still on your belly and hadn't been told, hey, you got wings. You got legs. I don't know about you, but I, when I think about that in terms of nature, I mean, to me, it's just the illustration, metamorphosis. It changed, and it changed completely. And I look at Stephen and I see him not as a worm. I see him full of grace. I see him full of the Spirit of God. I see the Spirit of God on him. Matter of fact, in verse 55, it says, being full of the Holy Spirit, he sees the presence of God. He declares the presence of God. I see the heavens opened up, the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. You know another way to say that? He's Lord. He's Lord. He's Lord of this day. He's Lord of my life. He's Lord of this moment. He'll be Lord of my death. He's at the right hand of the Father. What does he do at the right hand of the Father? He's interceding for Stephen just as he intercedes for you and me. But he's full of the Holy Spirit. He's got the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. That's the great intercessor. And he cries out with a loud voice. And he covers up their ears and they rush at him with one impulse. And they drive him out. They lay their robes down at Saul's feet and they stone him. And here's the transformation. Receive my spirit, and Lord, do not hold this sin against them. No anger, no bitterness, no unforgiveness here. The likeness of Jesus. Matter of fact, he's imitating the death of Jesus, is he not? Here's my spirit. Oh, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. They don't know what they're doing. It's the power of the Spirit of God to transform us. I don't think any of us in this place have been intentionally hit with a rock that size, physically. But I want to tell you, there's some of us in here that have had words thrown at us, phrases. You know, the old thing, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words may never hurt. No, words hurt. They hurt. And some of us, words of condemnation, words of failure, words of doubt, words of unbelief, and they've stoned you to death with those words. Well, I tell you, the Holy Spirit comes to empower you to say, Father, forgive them. Don't hold this sin against them. Because my spirit's in your hands. My life is in your hands. You are Lord. You are Lord. You are Lord. Would you bow with me in prayer? Receive the Holy Spirit. Receive the Spirit of God. Without the Spirit of God, you can do nothing. I can do nothing. But with the power of the Spirit of God, I can give witness to the presence of Christ. And I can begin that today, this very moment. I can give witness today to the freedom of Christ, the freedom of God in my life, who set me free from the power of sin, who has forgiven me, and then to give witness of the transformational power of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what the Holy Spirit does. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom. Freedom. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, well, that's the presence of God. The Lord is the Spirit. And as I behold Him, I become transformed into the same image. Isn't it interesting that that's what Stephen was doing that day? He was beholding the glory of God. Behold, I see. Behold, I see. And in beholding, he saw, he became. He became. I don't know where you are today. Most of you, I don't. But do you know that power is available through the Holy Spirit to make in your life where there's just nothing but worms, to do something so powerful that would transform you, your life, your marriage, your heart, into the same image of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Cottonwood is located 3 miles east of Dublin on Highway 6. For more information on the ministries of Cottonwood, please call us at 254-445-2929, or you can visit us on the web at www.cottonwoodtx.com. Living on